Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Greetings, Earthlings! I am Zoe from Planet Boy. Don't be afraid. Tell me, what is the meaning of all of this?
Well, it's Christmas.
Christmas?
Christmas. We decorate trees, we put colored lights on, and we hang stockings.
Yeah, shopping, you know, Christmas presents, stuff.
Yeah, we have Christmas cookies.
Yeah, and Christmas songs like Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells.
And we tell stories about baby Jesus.
Jesus? I know Jesus. He was on my planet. We sang songs to him, and we gave presents to him, and we built him a throne with gems, and we called him the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What do you do for Jesus here?
Well, we have Santa Claus and Elf on the Shelf, and
We eat lots of food. Good food.
And lots of programs.
We just do lots of things.
And online shopping, too.
Lots of things.
Well, maybe we just don't do the right stuff.
Hey, let's go tell more people about Jesus.
Yeah. All right. We've reached our penultimate installment here of our Mission Impossible Christmas series, all about God's plan, His wonderful plan to save all of humanity. And again, I strongly encourage you, if you haven't been with us, to go online and kind of catch up. If you've missed a week, you can download the MP3 file and, you know, put it on your phone and take a walk and kind of listen and have that weird guy whose hair is growing so long yell at you while you're walking there. I've really enjoyed the Mission Impossible movies. Anybody like those Mission Impossible movies? We have this moment in all those movies and a moment in the episodes where the master plan was finally revealed. And sometimes characters who you thought were one way, we see it different. And it's the Christmas story kind of has that same type of moment. I mean, C.S. Lewis talked about this in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, at that one moment when Aslan was after he had died, and then he reveals that there was, in fact, a deeper magic from before time. This is how C.S. Lewis described it. This understanding that there is a master plan at work, and sometimes we don't quite get it. And so if we look at the events of the birth of Christ, every single one of them was divinely orchestrated. It wasn't that God was trying to do some quick reaction. It wasn't that he saw that things got out of control and now all of a sudden it had gotten so crazy that he had to do some drastic thing. No, God in fact had a plan laid out from before the foundations of the earth that was working out to perfection. In fact, it was predicted with stunning accuracy as we lit our candle about the prophets and the promises of Christ that were foretold. And so this morning, I just want to give a three quick points to help us understand God's master plan to save the world. And the first point is this: God's plan to save the world always, everybody say always, it always included Jesus. It always included Jesus. God's plan to save the world was never about you trying to make yourself good enough in your own efforts and your own actions, you being given the responsibility to make yourself right enough in God's sight. Okay? It's important. Sometimes we forget this. I was having a conversation with a wonderful family after church first service with some kids who were beginning to ask some questions about, you know, what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to follow Christ? And we had to have this very candid discussion, which I so enjoyed, about what? It's not just about following rules. It's not just about being a good person. As I told you in the last series, when we ask the random people on the street, what does it mean to be a Christian? The average person will say, follow the Ten Commandments. That if I follow the Ten Commandments, that will make me a Christian. Well, it doesn't work like that. I refer to our last series. So consider this. When we're thinking about this master plan, it's stunning to me that if it always included Jesus, that we know that God is omniscient. He knows everything, right? Y'all believe that? So if God is omniscient, I'm willing to say, and I no sense in asking, raising of hands or anything, everybody in this room, we have all messed up. We are not perfect. Even most of us, I would say, and I'm using most kind of very, very liberally, have, after we have received Christ, and after we have pledged our lives to Christ, and after we are, in fact, Christians, we still miss the mark, right? Am I talking to that group today? Okay, fantastic. So that group, if God is omniscient and we mess up, how can He still be loving? God, in fact, is omniscient and He is still loving, understanding as He created mankind that mankind would reject Him. God loves us so much. He created mankind. He gave us the keys to remaining in fellowship with Him, but He also gave us the choice to break or to disobey fellowship with Him. He loves us that much. I mean, it's staggering. We're talking about the impossible circumstances around the birth of Christ. I tell you, the biggest, the most impossible thing for me at times to grasp my mind is this, that God could love me. Anybody else struggle with that from time to time? Well, it's the truth. He sent Jesus for that. So God's plan of salvation was before creation because of His omniscience, because He understood, He knew everything that that all mankind, every single person would ever do, positive, negative, obedient, disobedient, and yet He still loves us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. We read, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. What were we ransomed with? The precious blood of Christ. Now, I like that. Like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He's referring kind of back to this whole Jewish system of sacrifice and how iniquities were dealt with and how sin was dealt with. But I love verse 20. He says, He was foreknown. In other words, He was known before the foundation of the world. But it was made manifest in the last times for your sake, who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. In other words, this wonderful ministry of Christ was in God's plan. It was foreknown before the world's foundation. God had a plan, a master plan, and all creation and all history have played right down into this master plan. God wasn't shocked. Jesus wasn't plan B. You need to understand that. He wasn't plan B. And that says some fantastic things about the mercy, the grace, and the loving heart that God has for us. Because the bottom line, a lot of us struggle. We think that if we mess up, that somehow, because people in our lives, if you do well, people like you. If you do poorly, people don't. Right? So that's how much a lot of our society is based. Is based of when you do well, the relationships are strengthened, but when you struggle, boy, that's a whole nother ball of wax. This is important for us to understand about the love of God. And I hope we don't forget that around Christmas time, okay? So the second thing that we forget is that Jesus, He had to come in the form of a man. Jesus had to come in the form of a man. I liked our skit today. I really liked our skit. I mean, forget the theological conversation about alien planets and those things. But simply just lay into the understanding as we look around and we say, is this in fact Christmas? Is how we celebrate the birth of the Savior? What do they really have to do? Now, for most of us, we try to superimpose spirituality over a whole lot of busyness and distraction. Amen. A lot of us, we try to. We try to superimpose some God. You know, we try to come up as we examine them and we think, how can we make a God attribute or a Christ attribute and then write a fun song around it. But the bottom line is, as I said last week, the story of the birth of Christ stands really well on its own. Really, really well. So as we're walking through this season, this time that we have decided to remember and to reflect and to focus on the greatest miracle of this virgin birth, this wonderful conception, Emmanuel, God with us, let's not miss it in all of the busyness and all of the distractions. I tell you what, I look in my lifetime. You know, in this 35 years that I've been on this world, I've seen if anybody caught that. So, now, okay, a little bit longer than this. I look at my lifetime and I can see the progression of busyness just getting crazier and crazier. And some of you have got a few more laps on the track than me. That was a polite way to say. has things just seemed to have gotten out of control? Oh, we're going to talk the materialist. I know we can fall back into the cliche of the materialistic Christmas and whatnot. And quite frankly, there's legitimacy to have that discussion. My wife and I, we've looked at our calendar and we've sat there and we said, how can we fit one more thing? I don't want this to be, I can't wait to get through Christmas. Because at that point, guys, we have really, really missed the point. We've missed what it's really about. It's about relationship. So Jesus had to come in the form of man. Why? Why did Jesus have to come in the form of man? Well, first of all, he had to fulfill prophecy. It's important that we know that God doesn't lie. It's important that we know God doesn't lie. And that even really outlandish promises that he makes, he fulfills. God would make a promise that this Messiah was going to come and he was going to sit on the throne of David. And in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, he talks about the lineage of Christ. And in Matthew chapter 1 verse 1, we see the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. He lays it all out. Those genealogies we never read. You open up the book of Matthew, you open up the book of Luke, and you see these very long things. You think, oh, can we just get through that quickly? There's real significance and importance to why those generations are listed. He's showing us that God fulfills promises. And the great promise, why is it important? Because when you're going through a hard time and he has a promise that he will never leave you. Everybody say never. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You can trust that God will keep his promises. It's important for us to know that. The throne of David, we look at it also. He was born of a virgin. This was a prophecy. He was born in Bethlehem. Just to talk a few of the, I think there's around 19 specific ones about the birth of Christ. And there's literally about the Messiah. There's tons of prophecies. All of them in stunning accuracy. Matthew 1:22 tells us why. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Jesus came in the form of man because God said it would happen. And he wants us to know we can trust him. Another reason that Jesus came in the form of man is he had to reveal the Father. Up to then, we have the law of Moses. We have the law. And the law, you know, lets us know some things about the character of God. But we really didn't quite understand the heart of God. We were understanding the nuts and the bolts, but we didn't understand the dispensation of grace. John lets us know in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of, what are those next things? Full of what? Full of grace and full of truth. These words weren't randomly thrown out. Jesus came in the form of man to let us understand a couple things about the Father. grace and truth. Grace is wonderful. Remember, grace is that we get what we don't deserve. Justice is getting what you deserve, and mercy is not getting what you deserve. And Jesus came in the form of man to show us the heart of God. He's full of grace and truth. Let's all read verse 17 together and 18 together. Ready? For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made Him known. I love the word. He has made Him known. God is knowable. He is relatable because Jesus came in the form of man. Hallelujah. Now let's have some Christmas cookies. Which I'm excited about. So as we look at, we read right past this, we forget that these are reasons to focus on why Jesus came the way He did, to demonstrate the character of God, the love, the truth, the grace, to teach us the more perfect way and to bring us into a new dispensation. I mean, think about it. I mean, Moses, he would have encounters with, at the tent of meeting. And his face, he would glow. He'd have this time with God, and he had to put a veil on his face because it freaked everybody out. Okay? Now, to look at God face to face, we know that no man can see God and live. The full on being the presence of God, wickedness cannot dwell. Unrighteousness cannot be in the full, tangible presence of God. And so instead of God saying, I'm unknowable, here's the lengths of what God did. I'm coming to you, and I'm going to show you the Father. How great our joy. Now we know what the meaning of some of these words and the passion that we can have to show them. Another reason that Jesus had to come in the form of a man is because He had to be a compassionate high priest. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 through 18. Therefore, He had to be made like His brothers in every respect. He had to be made like His brothers how? In every respect. Wait a minute. Jesus understands what it's like to have hormones pumping through your veins? Yep. Well, I don't... That freaks me out. Did Jesus experience the things that we experience? Absolutely, He did. Was Jesus tempted? Yeah. We know we've got several of them that are written in Scripture, but we also have several others. Did Jesus ever get angry? Oh no, Jesus didn't get angry because we are the Ricky Bobby, the little 7-pound, 8-ounce baby Jesus, sitting there. We like that one. We don't like the Jesus that is an adolescent because they drive us all crazy. Can you imagine being Joseph and having to correct the Son of God? Woo. You imagine being one of His brothers? What's it like to be the brother of Christ? Talk about, yeah, something to live, some big shoes to fill up. Okay, so we think about that. He was a compassionate high priest. Going on. So that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because He Himself... Let's all read 18 together. Ready? For because He Himself has suffered when tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted. Jesus gets it. He gets it. He gets what it's like to be tempted in every way. Jesus understands it. And Jesus walked a perfect life. Jesus comprehends it. He understands humanness. So we think, oh, God just doesn't get it. God doesn't know what it's like to live in a small town and have people talk about them. Really? Yeah. Really? Have you read the Gospels? Yeah, He does. Jesus doesn't know what it's like to be misunderstood. Yeah, He does. Jesus doesn't know what it's like to lose a loved one. Yeah, He does. Yeah, He does. I mean, you can fill in the blank. Jesus went through the full gamut of human experience for a reason, so that He could understand and so that He is there for us, so He can have mercy and grace in a very profound way. He's not one who is not relatable. He related in every way. In doing so, the great effort is that God showed us the lengths that He is willing to go for us. Since you guys wouldn't come to me, I'm coming to you. You couldn't come to me. Another reason that Jesus had to come in the form of the man is one that we're uncomfortable with. As I talked about in the first week of our series, imagine how the promise would have come to Zechariah. Hey, your wife is your older wife, your mature wife, polite way to say it, is going to conceive, and she's going to have a baby, and he's going to be beheaded. How does that work for a promise? The promise of Christ. We look at all the prophecies, it's not just about the birth of Christ. It's about the birth of Christ, the life, and the death of Christ. He was born. I think it's profound. And I always almost, it's almost stirring as we think of how John, in John's gospel, when John sees Jesus and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." He wasn't just saying, oh yeah, he's cute and he's got curly hair. He was saying he is the sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 10 verses 5 through 7. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired." Talking about God. He says, "But a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and in sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." Hebrews 10:10. "And by that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Jesus came to die. He came to live. He came to show us the Father. He came to fulfill prophecy. He came to relate to us. He came to understand really what we go through. And he came to die. And this is the other reason he had to be fully man, guys. This is why Jesus had to be fully man. He had to fully die. He couldn't just go up to the cross and say, "Ah, good enough." He had to be born. He had to be tempted. He had to live. He had to live a pure life. He had to die, and he had to fully die. But here's the great things. Jesus not only came in the form of man, but Jesus also had to be Emmanuel, which means God with us. So yes, he was fully God, and he was fully, yes, he was fully man, and he is fully God at the same time. Jesus was the incarnate God. He humbled himself and he took on the form of a man. When we look at this word humbled, he limited. He put himself in the form of a servant. But yet he was still God, and that's why we understand some of the profound things that he did. He was fully man so he could fully die. But Acts chapter 2 verses 20 through 25, we hear this from the apostle as after the Holy Spirit fell, this wonderful sermon. He says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan." And there's a big word there. What is it? Foreknowledge. God already knew it. It was the master plan. This is that moment where Ethan Hunt goes, "Woo!" It's the big reveal. It says, "This master plan, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men, God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it." Jesus lived the perfect, pure life. And because of so, when he died, fully died, death could not hold him. That was supposed to be exciting. Death could not hold him. He was God. Now think about this. Because he was God, he was eternal. He was eternal in nature. Therefore, his sacrifice is eternal. That's why Christ could die once for all. The eternal nature of God continues to make intercession for us. He died once for all, and that was good enough because Jesus is eternal. It demonstrates God's power. This is a fantastic thing for us to understand. I mean, this makes sense when Jesus says things like, "Before Abraham was, I am." And yet he's there in human form. Those sentences mess with our minds. So the eternal nature of God, it's this master plan that was laid out, and now we're seeing all of these things fall into place. And the question is, why? Why did Jesus have to be Emmanuel? 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. Here's the why. For Christ died for sins. Let's all read that. Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. Hallelujah. This is why the angels sang. This is why crazy things happened and we have them on record. This is why stars move and lead wise men to make this incredibly long journey. Think of all the plan that God had to orchestrate these events. Why? Because God created us for a relationship with Him. Why does this matter to me today? Because God created us to have a relationship with Him. And our sins separate us from God. This should sound familiar, crew. Our sins separate us from God. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. In other words, we try. I love that event. I love the conversation I had just a few hours ago with a young man. He said, you know, what happens when you do something wrong? He says, I try to do two or three things right, and it'll balance out. He said, young man, I can relate to you because I try to do the same thing. And that effort is in our humanity. We want to do for ourselves rather than to trust what God has done for us in this master plan. P, paying the price for sin. What did Jesus do? He died and He rose again. E, everyone who puts their trust in Him will be saved. And this putting their trust in Him is not just saying, oh, yeah, I believe. It is belief to the point of your actions following them. It's not holding back. And finally, L, life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. This is the gospel. This is the master plan. This is the why all these crazy things happen, to prove that God fulfills His promises, to prove we can fully trust Him, to prove that God came down, lived the perfect pure light. He can relate to us, and to let us understand this is that reveal. Guys, God loves you that much. If you've never put your trust in Jesus, what are you waiting for? Now's the time. So what's our action? How do we take this? Don't lose the message. Don't lose the message in the chaos. Look for those quiet times and stillness where you can pull away and reflect on what really matters, and what really matters will transform our lives. The message of Christ stands on its own. The message of Christ needs to be prominent in our lives, not just this time of year. You know what irks me more than anything? Is we look at these calendar events and then we go through and say, oh, now we can put that away for a year. We're going to go in a few weeks. We're going to go to our mantles. And we're going to pack up our manger scenes. And we're going to take down all the decorations. And we're going to forget about the most miraculous, life-changing thing that ever happened in all humanity for another year? Please let it not be so. Let us live each day in the light of the wonderful miracle of the lengths that God has gone to relate to us. For unto us a child is born. Amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.